sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brian Hoyer will handle one more snap and drop Judy in victory formation. As the final 35 seconds elapse, he goes down. And Bill Belichick tonight coaching in his 37th playoff game as a head coach. That's an NFL record. Leads the Patriots along with Tom Brady by his side into a 12th conference championship game. A seventh straight trip to the AFC championship. And the Patriots will stage it right here at Gillette next week.
All right, well said there, Bob Soucy, my play-by-play partner, the Patriots Radio Network. Getting you ready for, seven straight AFC Championship weeks. It's what we do. It's how we do it. It's how we roll. As you heard in the crossover, and if you live under a rock, you're just finding out. Maybe some of you are. Mark Bertrand had a pretty serious accident Saturday on the way to the game. Check him out on Facebook, Twitter. Sends you right to the details of it. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I talked to Mark late on Saturday night, about 12:30, actually Sunday morning, on the way home. Talked to him yesterday a couple times. Hey, he's alive and doing better, and has, I think, maybe a new lease on life, and maybe found Jesus on Saturday. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this show right up to Bruins pregame at 12:30. We're going to be all football today, obviously, and what a weekend for the NFL. I have no clue when Bertrand will be back, but Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly is in. Glad I saw your name on the text, Paul, because I think it's perfect right now. You know this team as good as anybody. Here we are. I mean, it's Brady. It's Bortles. It's Brady. It's Bortles.
Brady and Bortles. Keenum. Just like we all thought.
Part of me died yesterday when Drew Brees led them to that late, couple seconds left field goal, and you think, boy, the Saints are going to win, and Brady Brees is still on. And then I don't know if you saw it, but there's the Diggs play again. And I just keep showing it every single freaking 5 minutes. I'm tired of seeing it. Again, Minnesota.
Diggs is one of your boys, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the Maryland guy.
We played the game last week other than Case Keenum. Diggs is the only guy I can name on their team. I'm serious. I swear to God.
I mean, I think you're underselling Minnesota a little bit, but I understand your larger point. We had the opportunity.
They reminded me of the running back Murray. I mean,
just think of what happened in those two games yesterday. Yeah. You had a chance to have Brady go against Ben in the AFC Championship game, and then potentially Brady and Brees in the Super Bowl. Instead, you get Brady Bortles and either Foles or Case Keenum.
Yep.
So. It is a little bit from your football fan in you. The NFL fan in you is a little disappointed. Now, as a Patriots fan, you got to be ecstatic. I mean,
why do you say that?
Because it's wide open. I mean, you have only yourself to blame if you don't take care of business. You are a better team than Jacksonville, and I think you're a better team than both Minnesota and Philadelphia. Now, I respect the defenses for all three of those teams. So I'm going to probably spend the next 2.5 hours explaining to you, and I know I don't have to explain you. Offense wins. This is a whole different NFL
score
than the one when we grew up watching.
Sure.
You have to score. Jacksonville won yesterday because they scored 45 points, not because they have the number two defense in football.
Right. They did.
You need to score.
I tell you what, and we're going to get into the Jacksonville game throughout the course of this week, but I sit there and you also say, well, which one did you want, Pittsburgh or Jacksonville? Pittsburgh has got to be one of the dumbest, most stupid teams I have ever seen with high talent. It's an embarrassment in the city of Pittsburgh to see the type of talent that they have on offense. And all you have to do is go to fourth and forever, and all you're doing is throwing touchdowns on those with guys making one-handed catches. You have the best back in the league.
Yeah, that had a chance to be...
I mean,
it's an embarrassing loss for Pittsburgh anyway, but that had a chance to be a blowout embarrassing loss. They made some eye-popping plays on fourth down, like you said.
Not just
converting fourth downs. Touchdowns, making touchdowns from. I mean, it was Ben made some unbelievable throws, and Bryant, Brown, and Bell All three of them. Not easy catches.
I don't know how you defend them.
By any means.
They were defended. I mean, the touchdowns were defended, other than the Martavius Bryant one, where he ran through coverage over the top. Mike Tomlin should be held accountable for that one.
A lot of mistakes.
That's the biggest.
A lot of curious plays.
Isn't that the biggest one you take out of the weekend? Other than the freakish ending in Minnesota, that Pittsburgh-Jacksonville one, because everybody here in our market in Boston was watching that one because
sure.
Winter's coming here. And we don't really know that much about Jacksonville, even though you spent a week with them, really 4 days with them for joints. Do you remember anything about the joints in August?
The only thing I could tell you, and not trying to get all inside football or anything, but when we were watching, we were sitting there. The one thing I will say is there was a guy that I had never heard of prior to those joint practices, and that's the Ngakoue, Ngakoue. He dominated.
Their size.
He absolutely dominated the Patriots on those 2 days. Now, I think in every other facet, the Patriots dominated, but they had a hard time keeping him off of Brady. And in joint practices, you're not going all the way to the quarterback, so the passes are still getting thrown. They couldn't. The Patriots did whatever they wanted to on offense.
Okay, so it's
that's the only thing that stuck out to me was that kid, 91 for Jacksonville. He was unblockable.
Two big things stood out for me from those three practices basically that they had together in a walkthrough. The size of Jacksonville, I thought they were big. I'm like, wow, these defensive backs are really big, and it reminded me of the Giant teams that Tom Coughlin had, and I think this is the Tom Coughlin influence on that roster. And the second one was how horrible Blake Bortles was.
Yeah, he was bad.
His approach, his work ethic, throwing off the back foot, throwing picks in one-on-ones and seven-on-sevens, he reminded me of a Tampa joint practice when, what the hell is the name of the kid?
Josh Freeman.
Totally came out,
agree.
One sock up, one sock down, hat on sideways, was just playing long toss with his buddy just to warm up and was throwing the ball in the dirt. And just, he thought, this guy just doesn't get it. This guy's never going to work in this league. And I thought the same thing about Bortles, but I got to give Bortles credit yesterday. Bortles played, they took the game out of his hands for about two quarters. And then they let him throw in that final drive again.
He made some big plays down the stretch. Like they had a couple of
thirds.
game pressure kind of situations where it's third and eight. He needed to make a throw, and then they followed that up by taking the deep shot. I think to the kid Keenan Cole. That was a throw that was right on. So I don't think he was great in that game, but he was pretty good. And the last couple of weeks, watching the two playoff games, because you don't watch Jacksonville a lot. I mean, how many times do you see him? I'll also say he's a pretty good runner. And he picks his spots and runs.
Deceptive.
He runs effectively when he needs to. He knows where the sticks are and he gets to them. I thought that's the single reason why they were able to beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I thought he ran sneaky effectively again yesterday.
It's interesting you say that because I think Flacco for the Ravens when he was beating
when
you,
he was young, yeah, when he was younger,
when he was
also
in the 11
that.
Playoff games. You're thinking, okay, he would pick up a creepy third and eight every once in a while and then find a way to get to the sticks and get out of bounds.
Yeah, he was good at it, too. He's not as good moving around as he was when he was younger, but Flacco was sneaky athletic, too.
Yeah. Okay, so Patriots heading to their seventh straight AFC Championship game. It's New England and Jacksonville at 3:05 next Sunday at Gillette Stadium. We're going to have the call live for you right here. A lot of programming throughout the course of the week.
Something tells me you're not going to be bored next week.
You'll bring
it next week for an AFC title.
This
game.
Is it. This
seven
is,
in a row.
We crank it up.
That is. I mean, I know sunshine.com. I have to be Homer Central, but I just can't fathom seven conference championship games in a row. That to me is
crazy.
There's a lot of unbelievable numbers associated with Brady and Belichick. That to me stands at least alongside any of them. I mean, that to me is unbelievably impressive.
Okay, there's a reason they're in it. We're going to talk Patriots next. Biggest takeaways from the win against the Titans. Obviously, that was Saturday primetime, 8 o'clock. We're going to get into that next. So 617-779-0985. Take all your calls. And don't forget, CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Commonwealth Insurance Partners. My man, Fear the Turtle, Boomer Esiason, with a big birthday shout-out here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
White, Gronkowski right, and then James White shifts into the backfield. Off the right hip of Brady, puts his left foot forward in the red shoes, takes the snap, looks right, lobs it for Gronk, he reaches up, he swings it down, touchdown Patriots! Gronkowski had Byard on his back, and with his score, the Pats now lead it. by a 34-7 count.
He's an unstoppable rebel force. He's a freaking cyborg. 34-51. Three touchdowns. 338. Your 40-year-old Pharrell quarterback is finding a way to feed it to the big boy. And you cannot stop Rob Gronkowski right now.
Well,
good luck,
Force.
Jacksonville. Good luck, Pittsburgh.
The Rebel Force just got a pass from the Jedi Knight with a Yoda on the sideline.
It's my little hairy partner, Chewy Jr., Bob Sosi, with the call. And good job there, Jim. The Star Wars theme.
It's you guys.
I mean, unstoppable Rebel Force. He is. I mean, you saw it in live time. I mean, you got guys hanging on him inside, outside. And this is the one thing I've sort of learned about Brady. He's almost like Bledsoe when you need it in a crunch. Bledsoe, remember when Bledsoe would always force at the coats?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't matter if Sean Jefferson was open or Terry was running this one or Curtis was getting a running.
And Tom does the same thing.
Ben, I need you here. And it's Brady and Gronk now. And nothing more evident than the AFC Championship game out in Denver. When Brady needed it, 4th and 10, he went to him, went to the touchdown. Pittsburgh in December this past year. And they're in a game where, and this is something to watch here as this thing moves forward. And I heard Jones and Hardy in our post game. They did a good job filling in for Beadle. We didn't have Diasi either. He was down. I couldn't turn the post game off. The post game was fantastic. Back and forth. The Brandon Cooks stuff. What is going on with Brandon Cooks?
I think they're having a hard time figuring out exactly what he can do consistently well. They know he can get down the field. I don't think, frankly, that plays really well with Brady's skill set. I don't think that's what he excels at. I'm not saying that he's not capable.
The go route was money. He should have had it.
Right.
He should have ran right through that.
I thought he had a chance. I totally agree. I thought he had a chance to make a play on that one.
Or
I
lay
thought,
out. Lay out for it.
not only he didn't lay out, I don't think he reached out as far as he could. Your boy, Big Jim Murray, on our postgame show with Andy Hart and myself, he just started calling him. You know, his father was an alligator. You see,
because, Jesus.
You know, like he thought it was really he didn't stretch out for it. Not only he didn't lay out, but he didn't really reach as far as he could. They've had problems, and it's funny because on one hand, I look at it and I say, well, Cooks has been open down the field on times that they haven't connected.
Correct.
He's also drawn a boatload of penalties. So there's a lot of penalty yardage there, too, that he's accounted for by being a deep threat.
I think he's playing out of position.
But it's just not worked on a consistent basis. He doesn't seem to, the slants, forget about it. The balls on the sideline, you know, quick outs.
Fake stops, not happening. Back not, shoulder, it, nope.
No back shoulder rapport with Brady at all. It's go routes.
It's gotta be in the hands.
I'd like to see some more deep in cuts that he can just sort of run. Yeah, Andy likes to say he's a run under guy. He's not a hands catcher.
No.
He runs under the ball and he catches it.
He's not gonna go up and fight for it.
He doesn't fight for it in traffic. But all of that said, I think he's had a good year. I don't think he's been great, but he's been good. Now, you and I watched a lot of training camp practices. I'm not going to speak for you. I was expecting more.
I expected
home
run city.
I
thought he was home run city.
In August, he was dominant on the practice field. I thought he was going to really light it up.
I thought there were 2 weeks at the end where they sort of geared things back because they don't want to show anymore.
I totally agree.
Because he came out like gangbusters at the beginning of
that camp.
West
Virginia, they put him on ice.
Yeah.
Against Houston. We're not going to, we don't need you to see this.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, I thought the damning one to me was not the deep one.
One in
the end zone where he gets up to the end line. There's a defender sitting out to his right. Brady's getting rocked. And he's letting it go right underneath the goalpost because there's a cavern in the middle, about a 20-yard cavern. And that's just, you snap it in, the ball's coming, and boom, bang it on him for a touchdown. And just to see Brady's reaction, he drops the head.
The look of death.
Are you kidding me?
You
can't read that one and connect on that one?
That was the Belichick death stare. I totally agree, Zoe. That was the one that stuck out to me. It looked like
that's when he was dead. He didn't get a ball after that. Paul.
He's got the guy inside. I mean, all he had to do was sort of just continue, and I think it's an easy play. And then the next play, you know, he wanted to go to Gronk. Yeah. It looked like on the next play, who was one of the few times he was covered.
Yeah,
he didn't look for Cooks after that. It was Chris Hogan.
See, I think it's as simple as this. I think he was brought here with the perception that you got Edelman. Offense is built around Edelman. Gronk's coming back. He's going to be healthy. Hogan, Mitchell, all these guys. You got all these weapons. The backs. He was going to be Dante Stallworth, 07. So he's your downfield route runner. And You know, we're going to do all this, and we're watching camp when Edelman's healthy. Mm-hmm. So everybody's hyper concentrated on Julian and Rob, and that's when Cooks was shaking, you know, your fourth, fifth defender downfield. So let's get to some of these calls. 617-779-0985. If you haven't heard, Paul Perillo will be in with me till 12:30. Take you right up the Bruins pregame. See if this is even working here, Jimmy. You know what, Jim? I can't pull this up. Why don't you go to Josh for me? Go to Josh in a car on Brady, please. You got that one? There we go. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, Zoe?
How you doing?
Hey, best wishes to Beetle. Hope he gets healthy quick.
Yes.
Jalen Ramsey, how do you feel about him?
Stud.
Stud, absolutely. Now, as a quarterback and you're Brady, how do you feel about what's the psyche of Brady knowing that you got Jalen Ramsey out there who walks the walk and talks the talk? This Jaguar team reminds me a little bit of the Jets that came in here and beat us with San Antonio home years with the defense and the quarterback that's just going to manage it and don't blow it. So if you're Brady, how do you approach Jalen Ramsey? Do you throw at him? Thanks, though.
Yeah, I mean, and here's another thing, too. Sometimes you get these over-aggressive corners, guys that like to take chances and play it. You could use that to your advantage because you could get them on some of the double moves. We'll get into more Jacksonville as this week progresses. I think there's a lot of plays to be made in the middle of the field. There's room in there.
I think they give up a lot of big plays.
And
again, I haven't seen a ton of Jacksonville, but
backers aren't good cover
the
guys.
Seattle game.
They haven't seen your tight end and backs like this.
The Seattle game, they had huge lead, and they're just letting Russell Wilson get one play touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. You saw it a little bit against Pittsburgh yesterday, where you're a great defense. You have them in a one dimensional situation. Turn up the heat. And lock it down. Make them peck their way down the field. They couldn't do it. They just kept giving up big play after big play. And I look at the Patriots and you say, "Lord, how does Brady handle Brady?" I'm not saying that Ramsey's overrated. I'm not saying this defense is overrated. But I just fall back on if you can execute offensively, you're going to move the ball against any defense in this league because it's just too hard to play defense. It's too hard to not commit penalties. It's too hard to keep a good quarterback off the board. Even look at what Minnesota did yesterday. Minnesota, for large stretches of that game, really bottled up New Orleans.
Rhodes on Thomas.
In the end of the game, you can't come up with the stops because Breeze is too good. What did he do? He kept going to Thomas, right? On that last drive, it was Thomas, incomplete. Thomas, broken up by Rhodes. Thomas, 4th and 10.
Yep.
I'm not gonna beat my head into the wall.
Right.
I'm going to find a secondary option. He goes to Willie Snead on Mackenzie Alexander, the young cornerback. Wasn't ready for that play. Big conversion. And ultimately, it probably should have cost you the game, if not for the Hail Mary.
Okay, so if that's the case, and if Jalen Ramsey is going to be locked up on, say, Brandon Cooks, okay, we're going to take him and put him on your fastest guy. I take Brandon Cooks, and I go routes all day.
Yeah. Takes Ramsey right out of the equation.
Take Jalen Ramsey. Take number 20. I want him 30 yards downfield.
And then see if you can get him bored. Because guys like that want to be around the ball, they want to make plays,
play
right?
Action, sniff,
so now all of a sudden, what's Jalen Ramsey doing? Hey, Brandon, what did he do the last time we sent you down? You know what? We're going to take a shot right here. You get a penalty, you get him out of position, maybe you get a touchdown out of it. A lot of people in Jacksonville talking about the possibility of Ramsey even seeing Gronk. What do you think about that?
You're rolling the dice there because you have backs. Now, I guess Burkhead and the report from Rap Sheet is Burkhead's going to be a go this week.
Yeah.
So now you implement Burkhead, James White, who you thought all of a sudden, boy, haven't seen him. He hasn't made many plays as of late. He gets in the end zone twice. You got three backs that you really can't cover with linebackers.
It's going to be interesting to see because this is one of those. It's a rare defense. I don't think that anytime it's a running back on a linebacker, I'm going to take the running back. But I do think that the Jags have some pretty athletic guys that can move with Jack and Fowler and even Telvin Smith, who had the fumble return yesterday. I do think they have the capabilities of not necessarily getting to Tennessee could not handle the space. The shallow crosses, the little dumps, they couldn't tackle in space, and that was a big part of the game. Deion Lewis, nine catches, 79 yards. Right. They couldn't handle that. I would be surprised if Jacksonville allows that approach to beat them the way that Tennessee did.
I want to get your thoughts on Brady next, how not only he handled the drama of the week, does he look frail to you? Does he look like he's rushing passes because he's getting drilled and being drug all over the field? We'll get into Brady's game on Saturday night, all that stuff next. 617-779-0985. Wallach's Last Hub headline, and then we bring in Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins play Dallas at TD Garden today. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 12:30 and the faceoff at 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins have earned at least 1 point in 11 straight games. Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh 45-42 yesterday. No one picked the Jaguars to win that game. Jalen Ramsey's team had the last laugh.
The only people who had them playing the Patriots was them. Those were the only people who had them doing that, and I guess the so-called experts and analysis or whatever they called may not have picked us. But that was stupid. All of them.
They'll be in Foxborough this Sunday to play the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. ESPN reports Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia will be the next head coach in Detroit with the Lions. Also, ESPN reports the Tennessee Titans and head coach Mike Mularkey have mutually agreed to part ways. Patriots assistant Josh McDaniels now expected to be a top candidate for that job. Over in the NFC, the Vikings beat New Orleans 29-24. They're through to the NFC Championship game. Case Keenan's 61-yard touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs on the final play of the game, the difference. And now the Vikings visit Philadelphia Sunday night for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Barrett Ale House in Bridgewater, Fall River, North Attleboro, and now West Bridgewater. Check out BarrettDaleHouse.com and see you at the house. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update with Hardy in 30 minutes.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild, Bertrand, and the unexpected.
How's the butt look?
Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom at the front. There's been a lot of negativity in the press the last couple of weeks, a lot of it personally at you. Does a
really?
Performance like that as a team?
No.
For you personally, with a performance like that, do you think it kind of silences the critics? Do you get a bit of satisfaction, like a little bit of a F you to the haters?
You know what? I have so... No, you know, I've been around long enough, so 18 years, there's been so many nice things said about me. It just goes with the territory, so... I just try to be consistent, show up and do the best I can do every week for the team, and regardless of whether I'm the worst quarterback in the league or the best quarterback in the league or somewhere in between, it's just my job is to do the best I can do for us every week. So it was a good team win today, and we're going to need another one next week. Whoever we play is going to be a great team.
I'd say he's the... at least the best of the remaining four. It's Tom Brady post game the other night. And why has it gotten to this point now? Okay, so a lot of people are in that room. And Brady's standing up in the front. And of course, hello there, Tom. I'd like to ask you a question. Everybody turns and looks at me. Because they know, hey, we got a Brit in the room asking a question about some football. And good job, Joe Buck, at the end of the Saints Vikings game, saying it's then now Bortles, it's Keenum, Foles, and there's a long pause, and he goes, and Brady, like the league, you know, you're wishing that you could potentially have a Breeze Brady final, but it's not going to be it. Drew Brees, season's over. Said he will probably be back, wants to be back with the Saints next year. He becomes a free agent. But how do you think Brady played the other night and handled the week?
Well, I thought he played vintage Brady. I thought it was just a surgical performance. I didn't think...
Slow start.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love the game plan coming out. I thought that they ran a little bit too much. Tennessee is a pretty good run defense, and they were pretty stingy, I thought, throughout the game. Now, the running got a little bit better as the game wore on.
Right.
I think part of that was circumstantial to the score and sort of the mentality that the defense has. But I thought they put themselves in some, like, third and eights unnecessarily by running Deion Lewis twice on first and second down.
And I thought Deion Lewis got it going, though, and saved their ass.
Oh, he did.
Because that was the spark that they needed.
He absolutely did. I do think that the running improved. I mean, he only averaged 4 yards a carry. I think 4.1 a carry. But I thought he got enough 5 and 6 yard runs to sort of make third downs much more manageable. If you look at it, they were 11 for 17 on third down.
Right.
I believe... two of their first three they failed on because they punted on the first two drives. Yeah. And then the last two, which were meaningless, one was a Brian Hoyer kneel down.
Right.
So really, in between, it was a lot of favorable third downs.
A lot of good third downs.
That
manageable.
Brady just converted. I thought the protection was pretty good. As expected, Dick LeBeau did not blitz very much. He's been burned by that in the past. And I thought the line did a good enough job. And when Brady needed to buy some time, he was able to do it and move around. But there were times where... The secondary for Tennessee did a pretty good job of taking away stuff and forcing Brady to look elsewhere, but it just, they had no answers. And again, it was the backs. You know, it's White, it's Lewis, you know, Gronk. I wanted to ask you a question about Gronk. For him, you know, 6 for 81 in a touchdown, that's a good, that's a good game for any tight end.
Right.
For him, it just seemed kind of quiet. He got a few catches late in the game, and I was wondering if you thought...
He got put-away catches is what I thought.
Do you think that maybe they went to him late? You know, the game was over. It was like 28-7 at the time. Maybe that Kevin Byard, you know, the safety for Tennessee, mm-hmm. a little mouthy during the course of the week. We want to make Brady look like Bortles. And,
yeah, no, I don't think that was it.
Yeah, let's take a few shots at him.
I think after forcing a couple of cooks, I even said it during the broadcast. I said I'm done now. I said go to your he's going to start going to his go to guys. He's going to start going to Amendola,
okay.
And he's going to go to Gronkowski. And that's when he started sticking it in.
Yeah.
Even when Byard was there, like you said on the back shoulder throw, put it right by the big white gloves and let him catch it. I thought Brady got it cranked up after the first three drives. I thought the way they came out, took the ball. I like that let's play from out in front. Let's play fast. But Hogan wasn't beating linebackers early, and there was no separation. Gronkowski, other than that bow route that he hit him on early in the game, nobody was separating for him. And I think he got pretty frustrated. Like, the feet ended up getting crossed up a couple times.
Yeah.
And a couple errant throws. You know, low throws to Amendola that he bailed him out on. I thought he hit James White behind him on the hip.
Yep.
So there were times where Brady had guys open where he could even have better numbers than what he had. But I thought when you needed it, that's when he separated, and that's when he, you know, cut the throat and bled him out. Let's go to some of these calls now. 617-779-0985. Jim, pull up Tommy for me first. Tom, caller number one. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, Zoe, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, so I'm just sort of looking at that game that Danny Amendola had, you know, absolute monster game. He comes out and, you know, he has like 112 yards on 8 catches. I mean, I just think he's going to give these guys a lot of trouble, you know, with, you know, a deep threat. You take, like you were saying earlier, Jalen Ramsey taking cooks down the field. I just don't think they have anybody on the inside that's going to come across and pick up Dola, you know, that's sort of filling the void that was left by Edelman.
Yeah, I mean, Amendola, and you hear the joking of Rob Gronkowski in the postgame, right? Danny playoff Amendola.
Yeah.
You know, he could go for a month or two and not give you anything, but this is, you know, it's like the Super Bowl last year.
Well, what I think that they do, Zoe, with him, and I've talked to some guys about this a little bit, I think they feel like he is a pretty reasonable facsimile of Edelman. I don't think that he's quite as dynamic with the ball after the catch as Julian is, but I think that they feel like he can do a lot of the things that Edelman does, but they don't think he can do it for 16 games. I think that knee problem that he has is pretty chronic. I think they really do their best to manage it when they need it. It's like you talked about, you know, when Tom needs it, he looks at Gronk. When they need him, absolutely. And it's no surprise to me that he was a more productive player in the playoffs last year than he was all during the regular season. And we saw it again Saturday night, 11 for 112. They had no answers.
They're pretty well coached, right? Josh and Bill. Yeah, I think they're pretty well coached. So when you sit there and you look at some of the red zone failures, if, for example, the one to Cooks, where I thought that was the damning one, there's no way they're going to stack that thing again to where they're going to make Cooks run the same thing against, say, a Jacksonville. Amendola gets that spot now. See, Amendola, to your point about the Edelman, they're not going to have that separation yet, but Danny will make the same decisions and same spots that Edelman will make. He knows where Tom's expecting him to go with the ball. Now, it might not be perfect, but at least you're going to be able to be there and compete. That was a non-compete play with Cooks, and that's concerning for me moving forward. Let's go to some of these calls here. Let's go to Phil in the car. What do you got, Philly? Phil.
Hey. How you doing? Hey, great show, guys.
How's Milford?
It's great. It's great. Hey, the only thing that scares me with Jacksonville is Tom Coughlin. You know, how he beat us twice in the Super Bowl. How much do you think of how much input does he put on the coach and on the team? And I think Tom Coughlin is Belichick's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, numbers aren't great, right? 2 Super Bowl losses against him.
Yeah, I think Brady's 2-3 against Coughlin altogether. And you brought up a point earlier in the show, and I think it's accurate. I think that you see a lot of the characteristics in Jacksonville, you know, have Coughlin's imprints on them.
I think the size,
you know, the style. The big difference to me is can Blake Bortles be Eli Manning? You know, you could say what you want about Eli Manning. I think he's a maddeningly inconsistent quarterback. I think if you look at his career, he's always been up and down. But when he's up, he's capable of doing things that can cause problems.
Yeah,
I don't know that Bortles has that ability.
If they play out in front, see, that's the thing. If you shut them down first drive, force them to punt, you get up 7-0 on them. Now, you know, they talked about this the other night, to where Bill said we want to make that game one dimensional, and it's passing situations, and you know, you kind of set your defense a different way now. This could be a big game for Harrison. You know, this could be another spot. I mean, a couple edge rushes the other night, his ability to set the edge, and when he tackled Henry where he got up underneath of Delanie Walker and then just grabbed him with his left hand, mm-hmm. little plays here and there, you know, or he gets the holding call. Just those little veteran things that I think you're going to have guys in the right spot to hopefully do something to where you get Bortles to panic in the pocket. And that's ultimately what you want to do.
And if you envision a game, like, you know, just look at the way that the game unfolded for the Patriots the other night. They clearly decided that, you know, after the first couple of series, we're going to put this ball in Tom's hands. We're going to let him spread it out. We're going to throw underneath. 31 passes in the first half, right? And, you know, 21-point second quarter. Game, for all intents and purposes, was over at halftime. Can you see Jacksonville trying to do something like that, where they're going to say, well, we don't think we're going to be able to just line up and run Leonard Fournette here, because we know what the Patriots are going to do. They're going to stack the box. They're going to make Bortles beat them. So let's go out. Now, normally you would say, let's go out and let's not play into what they want us to do. Let's dictate what we want them to do. Let's try to get some of those bigger bodies off. The Patriots had the other night a lot of times early in that game with all three, Lawrence Guy, Malcolm Brown, and Ricky Jean-Francois on the field together.
Mm.
That can be exploited if you have sort of a dynamic offense that's capable of doing different things. I don't think Jacksonville has that.
Yeah, and it's also, too, when you see all of a sudden, say Calvin Noy gets nicked or something, now all you have is Landon Roberts and Jordan Richards down as your two linebackers, I'd take number 37, get him up on him, or 27, which is number 27?
27. But if you want to try to spread out a little bit out of some of those run sets and see if you can get Hearns or you know, take a shot, play action shot downfield like they did at the end of the game to the kid Cole.
All right.
But I just don't think Bortles can do that.
All right, I got a thought on Fournette coming up next, because he went in the locker room. You only go in the locker room for one thing, and he came back and he played in that game, and he might not be right. I'll tell you more about that with Fournette next. More of your call, 617-779-0985.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the three. Bolden in the lineup as the tailback. Devlin in the three-point stance, the fullback. Two tight ends left, one tight end right. A handoff to Bolden, right up the middle. Untouched. Touchdown, Patriots.
Boy, that ball goes up in the stands. Hey, they must have talked about that this week. Hogan threw one in. Brandon Bolden almost threw it up in the 200 level. But, man, great offensive line blocking. You could drive a truck through this Dick LeBeau defense right in the middle. And I'm telling you, nice combo block by Tooney and Shaq Mason, David Andrews. And then you get your other running back in there, Devlin, with the meathead block in the middle on the Mike Backer. Good old school football play there.
Brandon
Bolden
might have wanted to hold on to that football. That is his first postseason career. And another left-handed heave toward the heavens.
I see what you're doing there. Double whammy right there. Game ball for Beatle, for his favorite Patriot, Brandon Bolden. One of his favorite songs, Cheap Trick. Beatle hilling up at home. Paul Perillo riding shotgun. Hardy's in. You did a fantastic job on the post game the other night, buddy.
Thank you.
You and Adam Jones, that snarky carcass picker.
It was a very entertaining ride.
Thank you.
45 minutes or so that I caught it on the way home.
I appreciate that. I thought I was going in for Diossi. I ended up going in for Beatle, who I still say, amazing. God, and thank God he's okay. When I talked to him before I even left the house to get down to Gillette, he was already at home.
Yeah.
And after my initial shock of him already being home, I thought, well, why aren't you at CBS Scene? Why isn't he here today? What goes on?
I was going to get there.
Oh, that's
didn't
probably
have a car.
It. Probably it. No car.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait for those live reads coming. Jesus. Man.
How long before he goes from inspirational to insufferable?
It depends. 3 days?
I'll give him 3 days to talk about
we'll
him after
three.
That. We got to get on with our lives.
Like, if he's in tomorrow, I'm just going to show up at 10:40 and let him just do the whole lay it out because he's got to tell the story.
He has to.
I can't tell it. I wasn't there. I mean, he's told me some of it, and I'm not going to tell you everything he told me.
Yeah,
I'll just tell the Herald.
I just mean beyond that.
I had Channel 7 calling out the Herald. My God, my phone was ringing more for Beetle than the AFC Championship game last night.
I'll give him 3 days to mention the accident, to talk about, you know, the and you can talk about the first responders in Norwood. That he's got a lifetime pass on because, you know, the police, fired the paramedics.
That was the one thing he wanted to stress.
Good. So that one he'll get a pass on. But in terms of him, any kind of new outlook on life.
Jesus.
And it,
told him. I texted him yesterday morning. What time are you guys going to church?
Full on Jesus, take the wheel. But I'll give him 3 days.
That's a great song.
I'll give him 3 days. If he's back tomorrow and he's still talking about any kind of, you know, ever since, I don't want to hear it. We're not going to do before accident, after accident, Beetle life.
This is terrible because I don't get a chance to listen to you guys that much because right in the middle of
the day. You have the app. You can put the 98.5 app.
Yeah, but I'm usually doing our show. And,
sure.
You know, no offense, but, you know.
Yeah, right.
Our show's better. So I don't get a chance to listen. This is going to be just classic. Listening to you two torture him. You got to give him 3 days? I got the over-under like a day and a half.
Oh, when he gets a new truck.
I don't think you're going to give him 3 days to do that. There's no way you're going to let him go for that long. No way. Think?
It's probably more like 3 hours.
Right.
If he comes out at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning talking about the accident, how lucky he is to be alive, and, you know, thank God and his family.
Well,
he's still at it at 1 p.m. tomorrow.
I can see the 11 a.m. reset. How long are we going with this?
Jaws of life.
How long till Big Andy and the boys up there at 495 North, or Big Tony? It's Big Tony, right?
Mm.
I think it's Big Tony.
His Dodge
it's Big
Ram
Tony.
Pickup?
Oh, me. Sorry. I was thinking Big Andy.
I'm sorry, but you walk away from that thing, they pretty much get a lifetime, too.
They're going to probably be hand-delivering a brand new one. Like, look at that, man. Yeah, they're going to get some good pub out of this.
Well, they should, right? I mean, if it's as bad as, you know, I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
He gets T-boned and it rolls.
I love that T-bone.
And he's okay.
I love that saying.
He's okay, right? I mean, it was... You're right. He posted stuff that night. He was home and resting. And
I wanted to come by the hospital in Norwood because I was going to be driving right by there. I'm like, what do you need? Like, carton of smokes, a hustler? What do you need? And I was looking forward to, like, stopping in and, like, him saying, no, take that with you. I'm like, sweet. I had it all planned out, like, how this could go. He was already home. It was 8 o'clock. He was home.
And then he wanted to know why he wasn't at CPA.
I told him,
I
told him, I said, 3 days later, it's going to be worse.
Soreness.
Sunday you're gonna feel okay. You're gonna see, you know what? Next's gonna start to stiffen. Then Monday and Tuesday, and then the black and blue comes through. Oh man. Yeah. All right. Let's get to some of these calls again. Thanks for hanging. Appreciate it. We'll get to you in the order that you called in. Let's go to Mike in the car. What do you got, Mike?
Morning, boys. How's it going?
Thanks for hanging.
Hardy, way to go. Way to nip that right in the bud.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick points, guys. You know, I feel like with the small mistakes that the Patriots make and, you know, unnecessary third downs and things like that, I feel like Jacksonville has a chance to win that game. Not only that, but I also feel like, you know, Felger seems to think we're going to get to Minnesota and we're just going to dance all over them. And I don't think that's the case either.
Who said that?
Felger.
Oh, man. Was there a team in here for a joint practice this year? By the name of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep. That means that this head coach and this organization respect that one. They only bring in people they like. Whether it's Green Bay, the Saints, this team, there's going to be a lot of mutual respect and shout-outs and accolades hanging all over Gillette Stadium about how good the Jacksonville Jaguars are. Paul, you know what goes on inside those walls.
I do know what I know what your point is about the joint practices, but I'm sorry, but I just cannot envision.
The Bortles stuff is tough to get over.
I cannot envision Jacksonville being a problem in this game unless the Patriots make them a problem the way Pittsburgh did.
Correct.
I mean,
but really, it's not. I mean, no one.
Pittsburgh's stupid. They're not well coached. They have no structure from the top down.
Pittsburgh turns the ball over. They do it a lot. The Patriots don't. 17 points just handed to them by Pittsburgh.
You gave a pick at the 25.
You have a pick and you take over in the red zone. You give them a direct touchdown on a fumble.
That's a game,
and then because of the way the game unfolded, you had the onside kick that they got a four-play drive without getting a first down for a field goal. So 17 of their points were completely handed to them by Pittsburgh. Yeah. I'm sorry, the Patriots will not do that. If the Patriots play a sloppy game, you can lose to anybody in this league if you're sloppy.
Yep.
Go back to that game in 2015 against the Eagles. If you want to allow a punt return for a touchdown and try these mortar kicks and have a pick six, 100-yard return, you can lose to anybody. But if the Patriots play a reasonable game, they don't have to play great. Play another game like you did Saturday night. Just go out there and be a businesslike game. No turnovers. There's no way Jacksonville's beating you.
All right, Mikey.
No way.
All right.
See you, pal. Thanks for calling. All right. It's funny you mentioned that onside kick debacle in Pittsburgh. Because coming up next, in 90 seconds, we got a segment called Why is the Other Team Stupid? Hardy Hub headline, and then we tell you how stupid Mike Tomlin is.